Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the Kia Studios. It's 10 o'clock. You know, that means we start the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Ask Paul Crane to hang out in here for just one second. Paul, question for you. Would you rather Gangnam Style or Macarena? Which one would you rather do? Can you see Paul doing Gangnam Style and then do the Macarena to go with it? What? I mean, are you Gangnam Style or Macarena? Which one do you go, Paul?
If I have to pick one.
Yes.
And it's not Step Touch, Macarena.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably Macarena too.
Yeah.
We used to do that back in the day. I could handle the Macarena.
I think I'd be afraid of getting hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to do Gangnam Style. No, that's a little too much jumping and everything
like
that. Yeah, yeah. You got creaky knees.
I have plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, exactly. You got creaky knees and you don't want all that. So thank you, Paul. That was weighing on my mind.
I'm so glad I could help contribute.
Yeah, listen, that was weighing on my mind for the whole show. We are streaming online.
I want you to free yourself now.
No problem. Chuck Reed and the Kia Studios. We're streaming online at 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Get all your sports news, your interviews, all your best moments, replays of the shows. Catch us live, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Shaka Khan, baby. Gotta love Shaka Khan and Rufus.
Ain't nobody, nobody loves me better.
Yeah. Download your radio.com app. You got a phone, a tablet, a boombox, a turntable, CD player, laser disc, whatever. Put it on a device. That way you can listen to us live. All the social media for the station, it's at 929TheGame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at 929TheGame. The best way to be a part of this show, follow us on Twitter. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance. Sometimes even within a few half hours to an hour in advance, since everybody now all of a sudden is on the bandwagon of how many team home runs the Braves have after we gave that to you early. Anyway, he is at JarvisD90. Follow Jarvis on Twitter, at JarvisD90. Those are the best ways to interact with the show, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Follow along with us. So NFL blitz here, and we start with Jadeveon Clowney, who is not this week in minicamp for the Houston Texans. Still unsigned. And then remember we gave you this story about how general manager Brian Gain was fired and does not have his replacement yet. So as of right now, Clowney's kind of in limbo. Says the new GM won't have a lot of time to negotiate with Clowney's camp given the NFL rule that says if a franchise player doesn't have a long-term deal by July 15th, he can only play the season on a one-year contract. Well, he hasn't signed that franchise deal yet. Now, they say they expect him that he would. $15.967 million franchise tender, but I think he does want a long-term deal, or they could theoretically trade him as well. But there has been no trade talks as of yet, but you never know when they say with a new GM coming in there. So, look, it's a strange situation. I know they want him. They want to pair him up with J.J. Watt. He's kind of started to come into his own a little bit. He's become a much better player, so You have to figure out a way to keep some of your guys out there, and their calling card has been defense. And when you have a young quarterback that's on a cheap deal, okay, when you got a cheap deal quarterback, then you got to sign some of your other big name guys. Jadeveon Clowney, you know, one of those guys to go along with J.J. Watt as well. So, have you seen this crazy story in the NFL about how fans in Canada are having to spend a crap ton of money to see Packers and Raiders? So the game is going to happen in Winnipeg. And they say that the cheapest tickets between the Packers and Raiders is $112, which is way more than any other Packers preseason game. In fact, they say that there's tickets available on secondhand markets for less than $20, even to go to Lambeau and then the one in Baltimore as well. You know, there's going to be a preseason game in Hawaii this year. The Cowboys and Rams saying that that's way overpriced. So while it's cool that the NFL wants to gimmick itself into markets that it's not used to being in, Hawaii Winnipeg. I get all that, and they are absolutely trying to spread their brand around. I understand all that. But if you're going to gouge people because, oh, look, the NFL's here and it never comes here, so we're going to gouge you a lot and tell you to come watch it, that ain't the way to win hearts and minds out of all of it. Look, everything in Hawaii is expensive because of just the cost of living out there. I mean, gas, food, anything like that is going to cost a fortune out in Hawaii, so I'm not surprised about that. But in a place like Winnipeg, it just seems kind of ridiculous. But, you know, the NFL is such a high-level brand. People want to see the NFL, and people are willing to do crazy things to try to get into a game that, you know, for people in Winnipeg may not have ever seen NFL football. So the NFL Competition Committee is going back after speaking to coaches last week about possible quote-unquote tweaks to the current rule that makes all instances of pass interference called and not called subject to replay review. Competition Committee is going to circle back with owners this week to determine whether or not and to what extent the current rule should be changed. So remember, Competition Committee secured a blank check to revise the new rule. Competition Committee originally intended to eliminate automatic review for pass interference calls and non-calls, foisting the responsibility for initiating replay review onto coaches. But the Competition Committee encountered unexpected resistance to this approach. So now they're having to go back to coaches and try to figure out a new strategy. You see what happens when you try to expand replay and everything like that? When you try to please all parties. This is what happens when you try to please everybody. That's what the NFL is trying to do with this. They want coaches pleased. They want fans pleased. They want players pleased. Everybody, they want referees to be pleased. Everybody's got to be pleased. Well, it don't work like that in life. Okay? It's not how it always works in life, is everybody gets exactly what they want. Trust me when I tell you that line. Not everybody gets exactly what they shoot for and want down at WSB for. But anyway, that aside, that's what happens when you're trying to please all masters and you don't have a solid game plan to step foot on and figure out what to do. I didn't like all this replay review stuff on this call from the start. I like it even less now. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo out there. So, now they got to say if that competition has to determine, is replay available for Hail Marys? What defines a Hail Mary? I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts to all this kind of stuff. And like I said, what's going to end up happening is they're not going to please anybody when it's all said and done. And that's what happens in these things, is that you go out there with good intentions. Well, the road of good intentions, as they say, is paved with gold. Okay? Reality and implementation and everything else, look, that's a whole different thing out there. You know, again, the less replay that's out there and the more it's just the human beings have to make the decision, I think the better long term. I just think that's a better way to go about it. Humans are going to have their flaws, but it's going to make it even worse if the machines or the humans running the machine have their flaws and you got replay and then everything gets all screwed up from there. Or they still have replay and don't get the right call. The whole thing is a bad idea to me, if you ask me. I don't think it's a good approach to it. Chuck me in the Kia Studios on our NFL Blitz on Sports Radio 929 The Game. So as the Jets have hired Joe Douglas as their new general manager, this was on Friday, now they're trying to round out their staff. So they say that there are some guys on the staff that will stay on board, but Rich Cimini of ESPN is reporting that new general manager, Joe Douglas, is going to speak with Phil Savage and Todd McShay. Todd McShay. And Phil Savage, I kind of get it. He was in the NFL. He's a GM. Phil was trying to get into the AAF, which is why he left Alabama. He left the Senior Bowl. He left Alabama because, well, he wants to be back in the NFL. I get it. He thought the AAF would be his way to go. Well, that lasted, what, 7 or 8 weeks? And the AAF went belly up. So no more of that. Now he's trying to get back in the NFL. Todd McShay, that's an interesting one. I mean, look, we've seen Mike Mayock get hired, right? We've seen John Gruden, Chucky, get back into coaching. Mike Mayock get hired. I mean, why can't Phil Savage and Todd McShay? I mean, who's next? They're going to bring Boomer in? Is Tom Jackson coming out of retirement to do something in the NFL? I mean, they got plenty of people at ESPN if you need to hire some guys. There's plenty of guys there. So you sure, certainly can find some guys. So they're going to throw whatever to the wall and see if it sticks. And this new wave of younger guys and analytics and all the kind of nonsense and stuff that they have. So it wouldn't surprise me if both those guys got a job because, you know, they fit the bill. So the New Orleans Saints have reached a deal on a 3-year contract extension with Pro Bowl defensive end Cameron Jordan. Doug Hendrickson of Wasserman and the Saints Vice President of Football Operations, Kai Harley, announced that a 3-year, $52.5 million deal with a max of $55.5 million that includes over $42 million in guaranteed money. So Cam Jordan is turning 30 on July 10th. Wanted to go ahead and get this deal done now. Says here he now has 5 years and a maximum value of $74 million left on his deal after Tuesday's extension. My goal is to win a Super Bowl here. Then my goal will be to win another Super Bowl. I've always said the New Orleans has become my home. My kids are in New Orleans. I'll be in New Orleans till they decide they don't want me no more. My dad, Steve Jordan, the famous tight end that played for the Vikings for 13 years. I always said I want to be with the same team for the rest of my career out there. So, been a Pro Bowler multiple times now. 13 sacks in 2017, 12 sacks in 2018 out there. Now, the deal itself is not that big of an extension when you think about it. Because it talks about the Khalil Mack of the Bears is averaging more than twice as much at Jordan as at $23.5 million per year. And Lawrence and DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark, and Jordan's better than Frank Clark, they're getting in the $20 million. So, you know, he kind of gave him, Jarvis, that hometown discount out there. You think 44 would do that? Think 44 would give the hometown discount? He gets 8 or 10 sacks. He ain't giving nobody no discount. Because he's been on the hot seat, and he's been fighting, scratching, clawing to get this, you know, and playing on that fifth-year option and everything. So, yeah, I mean, that's the low number on the market. It really is. Because you're talking about $23, $20 million. That's more of where the norm is. Look, Frank Clark's okay. He ain't $20 million worth. He ain't a $20 million player. And Cam Jordan's a much better player than what Frank Clark is. But that's the way the economics work if you're the next guy up. Here's what I can tell you. If you think guys are coming down to Cam Jordan's level of money, you're crazy. They're going to be they want to be in the DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark money. They ain't coming themselves down to the guys that are coming down to Cam Jordan money are the guys that can't play. Guys that don't get you a whole lot. Because the real guys that play defensive end, they want to be in that $20+ million range. I heard somebody talking today that Pat Mahomes may be the first $40 million a year quarterback. $40 million. A year. Oofta. Oi. All right. Asking this question will be fan friendly. You can jump on at 404-741-0929. Would you rather the Hawks use their draft picks and try to trade up and get more younger guys, or would you rather put those picks together and try to go get an established veteran or star? Break that down next. Chuck Renicki Studio, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
We're working the phones, trying to look at all our options, whether that means sliding up a spot here or there, or potentially even sliding back or trading out altogether if we feel like we can get a good future asset. We do like the draft. We think that it's got good depth to it. We're looking at everything that's available to us.
Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk bringing us back in. I was going to say, I got disappointed there for a minute there, Jarvis. I heard rock and roll playing in the background there. I was like, what the heck? Man. Almost called you Jahi because, I mean, he forgot the Brown Liquor music the other night. Brown Liquor Music Hour in full effect. Chuck Green, the Key Studios. All right, so 404-741-0929. NBA draft coming up next Thursday. It's a good Earth, Wind, and Fire song, by the way, too. That's the way of the world, right? Yeah. Here's a question that I have for you. Would you rather the Hawks take their draft picks and package to move up in the draft and get another young guy or so? Maybe they get two young guys because they take two draft picks and turn four draft picks into two guys. Or would you rather that the Hawks take those draft picks and try to get an established guy? See, I'm in the category of, you know, there's been a lot of rumor going around about could the Hawks be in the mix for Anthony Davis? Are the Hawks in the mix potentially for a Bradley Beal? If you told me we were in the mix for Bradley Beal or I could go up to three and get R.J. Barrett, I'm taking Bradley Beal. Because I'm a believer in the NBA of give me the known quantity. The NBA draft is such a crapshoot, even at number one. You know, a lot of times in the NFL, you feel like at least at number one, number two, you're going to get a guy that's going to be around for a long time. In the NBA, you know, it's been Purvis Ellison and Kwame Brown and, you know, a lot of these stiffs over the years that just don't do anything. Bradley Beal's a guy that averages 25 points a game. And I think you put him with a guy like Trae Young, been playing with a John Wall, you put him with a Trae Young, who's a much more I don't have to get my shot first type of point guard. Because John Wall's a I got to get my shot first type of point guard. I think you'd have a superstar on your hands. And I just, you know, I always get nervous about the NBA draft. And I know Travis Schlenk's track record tells you, look, this is the guy who helped find Draymond Green and Clay and Steph, and we all know that. Sometimes it's hard to get lucky twice in a lifetime. Sometimes you don't hit that well twice. Now, look, John Collins, Trae Young, it's worked out. It's worked out. They were able to find some guys. Herter has worked out. Can he continue to work that magic? I just prefer give me the established guy. Now, Anthony Davis, that's a whole nother level. You're talking about 25 and 15, elite shot blocker, first team all NBA. That's a whole nother level. I don't know if they're in that mix or not. I don't know that they can get to that mix or not. I mean, they have assets that the Pelicans are asking about and asking for. When you talk about what the Pelicans are looking for to get back, the Hawks are one of the few teams that have those kinds of assets available. I just don't know that they have enough to get. Bradley Beal, we were kind of looking at, you know, with the numbers and stuff like that. That probably is, at a minimum, 8-10 in Kent Bazemore, right? Bazemore helps even out the money because you got to even out the money some. And then you give them two first-round picks. That's probably about that. I would tell you this. If you told me that they came and that Washington came and said for Bradley Beal, I want 8-10-17 and Kent Bazemore, I'd take that deal right now. I'd make that deal. I'd give up all three first-round picks plus Kent Bazemore to get Bradley Beal back in return. They can figure out the way to get the rest of the roster together without Bazemore and, you know, without a couple of more rookie draft picks. I'd rather have the 25 points a night guy to help me out. So 404-741-0929 is our phone line if you want to jump on. But by all indications, and we just heard from a guy from Sporting News, or from Sports Illustrated, I'm sorry, Jake Fisher. You know, the Hawks are going to be aggressive one way or another because Travis Schlenk keeps making it clear, and especially now that they have six picks, they're not taking six guys. They weren't going to take five guys when they had five picks. They're certainly not going to take six when they've got six picks. So they're going to have to package and do something. They've got some assets. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be a team that other teams are going to look at. I don't know how high you're going to get. Probably not higher than three, which is fine. You know, if you're at three, that's fine. I mean, that gets you your selection of whoever you want. But you take a guy like, for instance, Cam Reddish, and I asked Fisher about this. You know, Cam Reddish is one of those guys that looks like he could be boom or bust. He looks like he could be a first-team all-NBA kind of player. He's got the body, he's got a skill set, but at times it just doesn't all come together for him. And at times he kind of just disappeared while he was at Duke. Well, you can't afford to have that on a team like this. You can't afford to have a guy that you potentially invest, let's say, a top-five pick into, and then he doesn't work out. Because now your rebuild's another year or two behind. Now you're fighting behind. Versus Bradley Beal, yeah, he's going to cost me a crap ton more money. I also know Bradley Beal's going to get me 25 points a night. And there's not a whole lot of those guys running around the league to say, okay, here you go, son, go get me 25 every night. and Collins gets me 20 and 10, and Trae Young gets me 18-20. Okay, you'll take that every day of the week. So if you're telling me we're in the mix for one of those guys, I'm in. I'm all the way in for those kinds of guys to be part of all this. I'm all the way in. But I always think that the NBA draft is just one of those things that I get very nervous about when you start talking about what guys you're going to get and who you're going to draft. And look, even talking about going to number one in the draft, even when you're talking about going to number one, that's not even a guarantee. I mean, we all know who the number one pick at this point is going to be. I mean, we all know that it's Zion or bust. I mean, there is no other guy to pick at number one. So you're going to go with that guy, no questions asked, at number one. But that doesn't guarantee you anything. All it guarantees you is that you got your hands on Zion Williamson. You better hope he can figure it out, and you better hope you can coach him up, and you better hope that it all comes together for him. Because if it doesn't, when you miss that kind of pick, now you're talking about your franchise's setback for 3 or 4 years. That's the kind of pick that you can't bounce back from. You can't bounce back from a pick like that quickly. You just can't. You can't recover quick enough on those kinds of picks. So that's why I say known commodities in the NBA are so much more valuable than what even a draft pick can get you. And it's going to be interesting because the Hawks are going to be very active in which direction they go. You know, Travis Schlenk obviously can't really play his hand too hard on all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. Where does he end up in all of this kind of stuff? Where does he end up moving up to? Now, I wouldn't be upset if you told me that Travis Schlenk decides to go up to 3 or 4 and he's got his guy in mind. I mean, I can tell you that wouldn't upset me one bit if you told me, okay, you know, I've got my guy identified. Let's trade up to 3. Whether that's Cam Reddish, whether that's R.J. Barrett. I love R.J. Barrett. I mean, I know a lot of people are scared about R.J. Barrett, you know, and people by and large are scared about Duke players anyway, right? I mean, Duke players always seem to freak everybody out. But I love, you know, the idea of getting R.J. Barrett if you could move up that high and make a deal with the Knicks. And you heard Jake Fisher talking about, okay, what happens, though, if the Knicks or whatever like that decide to get in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes? And now that domino effect starts to happen, and you start to have that trickle down of what's going to go on with the rest of the draft. So we know for sure the Hawks are going to be active. We know for sure, you know, first of all, the trade has to be announced of Torian Prince, Carr, the draft pick, all that kind of stuff. Because you can't do all of that officially until the day of the draft when you're talking about moving draft picks and everything like that. So you have to do all that then. So that's why it's going to be a little bit, and that's why it'll probably be draft night before you start to see really any kind of movement out of the Atlanta Hawks in what they're going to do out there. And we had some folks that called in earlier that said stick to the plan, stay with the young guys, and I get that. It's just that if you're not going to be able to sign a free agent that you want, like if we're not in the business of Leonard and Durant and, you know, whoever else, I mean, if we're not in the business of the top guys, how do we get a guy that's a difference maker? Well, either we got to continue to draft those guys or you trade. If free agency is not an option, then you're going to have to figure out a way to either trade or draft those guys. But even with the draft, it could take you a few years. At least with Beal, you know that you got a guy who's an established star and you got a guy who gets you 25 points per night and has averaged 22 or more the last 3 years. I think it's been 22, 23, 25. I mean, so his scoring has gone up over these last few years. So you know that he's an established kind of star already for you out there. And played in the Eastern Conference and played at a high level. So we'll be interesting next Thursday. Of course, we're going to have all your draft coverage right here on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Hawks will be busy and we'll be active. We got a draft show. I think Mike Conti's involved. Andy Bunker's involved. Sparty's involved, right? I think Sparty's going to be part of it. Yeah. Yeah. I think Sparty's going to be on there for the whole show, or at least a good bit of it. Won't be just one 10-minute hit for Sparty, and then he goes from there. So it'll be fun because we know the Hawks are going to be active this year pretty much no matter what. So when we get back, we're going to talk some Braves baseball as everybody kind of behind the curve of what we were talking about earlier. I'm going to show you how this Braves offense stacks up all time against some of the other Braves offenses in history. I got some numbers for you. Break that all down next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Little Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, baby. That's my guy, Teddy P. Getting it done. I ain't got nothing but bad luck, I can tell you that. Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Well, downhearted and confused, because lately you've been starting to lose. Man, this is what it's all about right here, man. This is my jam all the way right here. The great Al Wilson, man, giving us a little bit of show and tell as we keep the brown liquor music rolling here in the Kia Studios. I'm telling you, Jarvis, put my demo tape together, baby, because I could be on V103 or Star 94, man. We officially went shades on in the club, by the way, too. Shades on in the club, baby. Shades on in the club right about now. Yeah, that's where we're at with it. You going to give us a rain delay? Fine. I'll put the damn shades on. Go ahead, Braves. Bring your rain delay. I got the shades, and I got some show and tell. See? You can't mess with us. 404-741-0929. Our phone lines, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So we talked about this earlier in the show. Braves tonight with another 5 homers tonight. I mean, just whacking it all over the ball yard tonight. Brian McCann has 2 homers. Ozzie's homered. Donaldson's homered. Markakis homered. They had 4 homers in 1 inning. Now, going into tonight, this is before this even started because I had put these numbers together. The Braves for the season had hit 94 home runs in their 66 games. That put them on a pace to hit 231 homers for the year. The all-time single-season franchise record is 235. With the 5 they hit tonight, I think they're closer to like 240 tonight is what their pace is on there. Now, you think about even the 231 going into tonight. It's the fact that you haven't had Austin Riley all year long. I mean, think about that. Austin Riley's not been here all season long. You get him. You haven't been playing, you know, instead of Inciarte and things like that, you know, you got a Mahler right in the middle of your order. Acuna's heating up. Ozzie's heating up. The weather's heating up. The ball is flying off the bats of these guys in this ballpark now. So when you talk about that number, and you think about cold weather and things like that. Again, remember, they played in Coors Field, and it was lousy weather. It wasn't great out there. And Coors Field's even had snowstorms and things like that. I mean, so the fact is, you've got a lot of upside to that number. A lot of upside there. So, you know, the Braves could very much easily get past that 235 homer. And that's the 2003 team. You want to talk about that team in 2003 when Javi Lopez has got 43 homers and 109 RBIs? He's mauling. Your outfield that year, Chipper, who played left, remember, that's the Chipper Jones in left field year. He was, what, I think 29 and over 100. I'm trying to get the thing up right now. And, of course, the thing is not working. Got to love these computers when they just crap out on you. So Chipper was 27 and 106. Andrew was 36-116. Sheffield was 39-132. They had They had six guys with 20 or more homers, including Vinny Castilla at third and Marcus Giles at second base. Yeah, they were loaded for bear. The Braves tonight, not counting their runs tonight, they'd scored 336 runs going into this game. That puts them on pace for 825 runs. Again, when you're talking about Austin Riley and the ball flying out of the ballpark, the run numbers could go up, and they've put seven up on the board tonight. The franchise record in the 20th and 21st century, I'm not counting the 1860s and the 1870s and all that, is that same 2003 team with 907 runs. Now, my buddy Matt Ryan texted me and said that that's the last team to score 900 or more runs in the National League, was that 03 team. But the 825 runs would give them the 1, 2, 3, 4. That would still be the fifth highest total in the history of the franchise if they put up 825 runs. And once again, you talk about the guys that are there now that weren't there before, and runs are going like crazy. So, you know, expect more runs through the summertime because as the ballpark heats up, like I said, ball's going to be flying out of the ballpark. So that number is very, very doable because the Braves right now are averaging, going into today, I was trying to see, I think it's 5.06 runs per game. It's a little over 5 runs per game that they're averaging. Put a 7 spot up on the board tonight with this club. So when you also look at the OPS for this team, Braves OPS right now is 775. The record is that 2003 team that went 101-61. Keep going back to that team because that was the best offensive team they had with an 824 OPS. They right now have the, 2, 3, 4, 5, tied for the sixth highest OPS, but the next two teams up in front of them have a 777. So again, I will tell you, this Braves offense isn't just like really good. It's historically good for this franchise. The numbers that they're putting up and where they're pacing, you're going to talk about one of the best offenses of all time. And I don't know what it's going to translate when you talk about wins, losses, and all that good kind of stuff, okay? But what I can tell you is go to the ballpark and have some fun because this team is going to put up some runs. So you know when this team is playing at home and that ball is flying out, if you sit out in the right field stands, you got a chance to catch a home run ball because either Braves or somebody else is going to whack it all around. Somebody's going to whack it all around out there because that's what that stadium provides out there. So if nothing else, you want to go and watch good offensive baseball, then go do it because there could be plenty of it out there. Now, doesn't bode well for the bullpen, you know. Doesn't bode well for what those guys have going on out there. But it's going to be a fun time at the ballpark out there. Now, the Braves are in a rain delay right now, which is ridiculous because they've got like, I don't know, it's pouring down rain, but look, they got like half an inning. All they got is to get through half an inning and they're done. They got the lead. They don't have to play the bottom of the ninth. Just get through the top of the ninth and be done and you're past it all, but it's not happening. So who knows when this game is over with. Poor Paul Crane is stuck here having to stay late for all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's Paul's going to keep you up to date with everything going on with it, and when this rain delay eventually, I can't imagine the rain's going to last that long, but even if it just slows down, get out there. Either call the game and just be done with it, or get this top of the inning over with. Seems like a stupid thing to do, and I know it's a two-run game, so people are going to say, well, look, they're only down by 2 runs. Anything can happen. Okay, who cares? Who cares? Just end the game. You only got three. Pittsburgh's only got 3 more outs, to get. They only got 3 more outs to get. And by the way, you know that Luke Jackson was coming in, right? Did you see Luke was coming in? So Luke is going to get his shot to close it out. Hopefully he doesn't, you know, put up his 6th blown save, 9 saves and 5 blown. That's not exactly what you want. So Luke going to get his chance to come in and close this thing out. Now you kind of wonder, will he get a chance to come in and close it out? Now that he got warmed up, would they sit him back down and bring somebody else in? They've already used Toussaint. They've already used Minner. They've already used Swarzak. They got Luke Jackson up there. We know Sean Newcomb is going to pitch on Saturday now with the Gausman going to IL and A.J. Minter coming up now. Minter already pitched, and, of course, he gave up a run. You saw that, right? He gave up one hit, one earned run that was charged to him. So, of course, he's got to come in and give that up. So, oh, by the way, Minter's ERA is 9.75 in case you were. And, by the way, he lowered his ERA by having one inning and one run. That's how bad he's been. He gave up a run in an inning, and he still lowered his ERA for it. But I wonder if Luke will be able to come in, depending on how long this rain delay lasts, if he got warmed up or if he could get warmed up again, if they have to bring somebody else in, like Webb or something like that, in and burn one more arm. All right, you know what time it is when we get back. It's going to be time to take that love TKO. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
Ain't no woman like the one I've got. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.